You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
John Peterson.
Gordy Young.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
Quit watching TV and do the show.
U.S. envoy meets with Zelensky in Kyiv for talks on ending the war. I thought they weren't going to meet anybody.
Well, they're there.
Hello. There we go. Why is this mic?
Somebody switched the mics. Playing around in the studio again. They switched them around.
Now John's off. There we go.
Hello. There we go.
What is going on here?
Playing games with us.
Yeah.
Some kids were in here last night messing around with the microphones and buttons and switches.
Some kid named Dom Salvia.
Oh, was he here?
I think so. I wasn't here, but I think he was in.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know for sure.
One rip-roaring show with Matt Rothschild.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I mean, they focused on like one thing all day, but it was well deserved. I mean, we're talking about losing our republic. So,
yeah.
It's that little thing, that we're all a little bothered by.
Just a little.
Yeah. It's a craw under our collar or whatever, skin or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I'm not good at old sayings. I can't.
No.
I used to say
it's water over the bridge.
It's something like that. But it's like the worst one that I ever got was walking on egg cartons.
That makes no sense.
Well, that makes more sense than walking on eggshells, right? Egg cartons. I mean, you're really going for the whole dozen.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that works.
Yeah, all right. Well, sure. I know you're just agreeing with me.
Yeah.
So, it's a big day today. We got a lot of stories.
Oh, boy.
I mean, every day it's a fire hose of stories.
It is.
And I know that the newswire that we have, mm-hmm. we've just installed this. It's like old technology, but it's a time for the newswire.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. I mean, we're going through a lot of paper. I know that. Those rolls, those great big yellow rolls of paper, we're churning through those.
Yeah.
Yeah, firewood. I don't know. So it's 9 minutes past the hour. Yeah. It's another cold start this morning. Just 2 degrees.
This is just getting ridiculous.
Well, today is supposed to be the day we break through this and warm up. But let's see how warm it's going to get. Let's get the lottery ball machine out and check things out here. Today's afternoon high. The balls are rolling around there. The shaft it goes. 2 is the first number, and the second number is also 2. I didn't know that we had 2 twos.
I didn't know that either.
Wasn't sure we had that technology.
That could get us into trouble.
It might. 22 will be the high today.
All right.
And we'll check in with Brittany Merlot in a little while, get the rest of the weather. Yeah, so here it is Thursday.
Yeah.
A little bit later on, we'll talk to Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils.
6:35, we'll be talking to him. Mm-hmm. We've got a few things to touch base on. And in fact, we might even start talking about the science of reading again. Who knows?
Maybe not. Okay.
But, standardized tests. And in his latest podcast,
yes,
I believe that he and his daughter were discussing taking standardized tests, and we'll talk to them about that, because I didn't know you could opt out of these things. You could just say, no, I don't want to do them.
Is that right?
Yeah. Since when?
Opt out?
Why couldn't I do that when I was in school?
Well, you didn't have Tim Slecker as your dad.
Guess, yeah.
But okay. It's an interesting story, and I hope to have him at least tell us how his daughter got into that. And she was very young when she went in and talked to the school board and said, you know, I'm the trick here is telling them you're not going to do it. Yep. Not asking them, but telling them. And that was the tipping point where she, believe this or not, she has not taken a standardized test at all. And she's in college.
Huh.
So
didn't realize
that
was an option.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I'm also wondering if that affects her ability to get into a college or be accepted or have some kind of record of her tests. I don't know. We'll ask Dr. Tim Slecker.
Good question. Okay. You know the Best of Madison thing?
Yes.
Best of Madison Awards.
Yeah.
And these have been going on forever. I don't know when they started this, in the 80s probably.
Yeah.
Best of Madison nominations are now open. And so if you, out there in radio land, I'd love to say that.
I do too. Yeah. That's great. What a great place to visit.
Radioland. Oh, the rides are great.
I agree.
The concession stands?
No, they're not so good.
It's
a lot of old food that the announcers
nobody
themselves
wants.
Didn't want.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen to this.
Yeah.
If John and Gordy, that's us, John Peterson, Gordy Young. He's John, I'm Gordy.
Yeah, I'm John.
Yeah. There's Sam over there. Producer Sam.
People have no idea what the studio looks like. They don't know where we're sitting.
That's true. If the John and Gordy show on WMDX is your go-to, listen to this. We'd love to have your nomination for Best Radio Team for Best of Madison. And it's easy to do this. Just go to channel3000.com and click on Best of Madison. Then go to the Arts and Entertainment category. That's the category for
us.
We call this Arts and Entertainment. Yep. You find Best Radio Team, and then just type in the words John and Gordy and register. Now, you can vote every single day now until the end of the month.
That's so
this is the nomination period.
Yeah.
So we get enough nominations, then it goes to the next round.
Then we'll be.
I think that link might be wrong, actually, because I had to do some digging to find out how to nominate people.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
The link that I've been using is madisonmagazine.com/BOM. And then you can go to Arts and Entertainment and put in your nominations.
Say that again.
BOM.
BOM. madisonmagazine.com/BOM.
Yeah. /BOM. /. Okay. Yeah.
What's the difference between a forward slash and a
one point? Aren't
they
one
all slash?
One point's this way, one point's that way.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I think of a slash as a slash. No?
Well, you can try it, but you might go to a place.
Completely different place,
yes.
The worst of Madison. That's where you're going to go.
That's right.
Well, anyway, once you get registered, go to whatever Sam said, and then once you register, you can just add in your email address, and then it'll remember you every day.
You know, BOM, Best of Madison.
You can only enter once a day. You can only vote once a day. You won't get a ton of emails either.
But that's only till the end of the month, I believe.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And then it goes to the next.
The next one is actually they have the three finalists, and then you vote for them.
Okay. Good deal.
Right. You know, we got a Best of Madison. I did.
Well, so did
but
I.
You had just different, left.
Right.
Yeah, you got it for weather.
TV personality.
TV personality, weather
1994.
Forecaster. Yeah. And I got it for, 92.
Yeah.
MAD out in Sun Prairie with Arnie Wheeler.
Yep.
So we're big winners here.
We're in the Hall of Fame over there.
We are. You know, they invite us every year to hand out awards because we've been so successful. But no way.
We're not going back.
We're going to go back.
Well,
if we get the votes.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, we have never asked for the nomination.
Right.
And we got them. You know, we won our categories.
Yes.
But we never went on the air and, prostituted ourselves. And,
well.
And sounded desperate. We're doing that now.
You think so?
And
I think, but everybody does it now. I mean, everybody lets them.
No one is more shameless than Jonathan and Kitty over there.
Oh, you know? Those guys.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They've won it a number of times.
I know.
How many times do they have to win it? You know,
right.
Come on. Should retire. After you win two or three times, they ought to just, you know, you can't be eligible
Check
again.
Check them off.
Anyway.
Well, if we could make the rules, that would be a rule.
Okay. Let's get to the National Day calendar before It's February 20th. Is it National Leadership Day? Is it National Popcorn Day? How about National Comfy Day? National Cherry Pie Day, National Love Your Pet Day, or National Muffin Day? Which one of those days does not belong, John Peters?
It's not Muffin Day, because I know you hate Sam's Muffins.
Well, I love Sam's Muffins, and it is National Muffin Day, so you're wrong on both counts. Sam?
Sam? I don't think I've ever made muffins for you, John.
Well, don't you bring in muffins?
I bring in banana bread every now and then.
Yeah. Well, no, that's good, but yeah, I thought you had those frozen muffins.
Those things. Mm. That's a whole other story.
Okay.
Yeah, those are awful. Yeah. It's not Love Your Pet Day.
Well, you're wrong again. It is National Love Your Pet Day. It's not National Popcorn Day. It might be some other day, but it's not today.
Okay.
So Leadership Day is happening today. Mm-hmm. You know, salute the leader in your group, whatever. I don't know.
Well, no leader, you know.
Yeah, what?
Trump is king.
Oh, that's right. He's the king now. Yeah, forgot. Let's see. National Comfy Day. What's that all about? Comfy Day. Allows you to get comfortable and relax. It's time to get cozy in your favorite place and take a break from the daily grind. This is so stupid.
So we needed that in order to allow people to be comfy.
Get this. The word comfy, John, which is short for comfortable, I'm glad they pointed that out.
Wow.
Is used to describe places and activities that put us at peace. So how to observe a National Comfy Day? Well, live the comfy life, giving and receiving comfortable gifts, as well as dressing comfy. You know, it's all part of it.
Well, we can forget about
nobody
that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, because
nobody
I
cares.
Think no one is comfortable in this country of ours right now.
It's National Muffin Day. Yeah. Enjoy the muffins.
Muffins.
Love your pet and have some cherry pie. Okay.
All right. Cherry pie. That's is there something about the cherry pie thing?
Well, we got a moment here. Let's just see. Pie lovers will enjoy Cherry Pie Day. It seems only right we celebrate cherry pie so close to President's Day, as we all know the story that George Washington chopped down the cherry tree.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
It's not even true.
No, it's not true at all.
Why are we doing it?
18 minutes past the hour.
Oh, Sherry, thank you for the emoji.
Just getting started. Yeah. We'll come back and open the history book next on John and Gordy in the Morning on WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I'm so happy because today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly. That's okay.
92.7 WMDX. It's John and Gordy in the Morning. That's what you write down on the Best of Madison.
The nominations. I'm coughing in here already because Sam, you know, he just took the book from over yonder.
Oh, yeah. I decided to dust off the book in the commercial
early.
I don't have to put everyone listening.
Shouldn't we go to Matt first? Because
he's been waiting on it.
Yeah.
Let's go to
Matt. Why don't we talk to Matt? Matt, what do you got for us this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. So I've been paying attention to Argentina ever since Milei took office because he is a test case for these kind of far-right libertarian psychopaths, Elon Musk.
Yes.
And their poverty rate is now at 53%. He just stole from his people with his own meme coin, the same thing Trump did.
Oh, geez.
And no. I find it fascinating that these stupid MAGA are just like the vote to supporters over there, where you can literally take their money from them, show them the facts, show them the data, point out all the damage that their great leader's doing, and they'll still look at you like, well, that was something else that caused that, or they'll blame something else. Like, they can't admit that they just, their ideology is wrong, or their, or their, or the people they support are actually evil. Like, what's it to take for these MAGA to wake up and realize that that's what Musk and Trump want to do here? They want you to be poor, or they want you to work 10 to 12 hour days to support yourself, and they do not care about the common good.
Yeah, there's that big crypto scandal down there in Argentina, and we're seeing so many different versions of the meme coins here in this country. You know, Elon has it, Melania has it. And you can't really use the money to buy anything. You know, I just don't get it. I think it's I think it's a plaything for people with money, right? That's all it is.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a currency, and they made it into a tradable asset. It's, it's all garbage.
Yeah. And it's used by drug dealers as well. And, of course, you're in good company, Trump, and Milei. I think it's just an amazing thing. Now there's calls for at least impeaching, you know, the president in Argentina. So we'll see what happens, but it's a good test case. You're right. We should be watching Argentina.
Yeah.
And see how it's done.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Matt, thank you for that call. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show on WMDX is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can sleep better and dream bigger. The President's Day sale's still happening right now. In fact, you can get all kinds of savings, especially on adjustable frames and bases. So check those out. It's all American-made and locally crafted. You can save an extra $250 or $500 or $850, depending on which mattress or which base you're looking at. These are all factory direct prices that you'll save on. And also, they're offering free 0% financing available for 6, 12, or even 18 months. Check them out on the east side of Madison or west side location, or just go to verlo.com for more information. John.
All right. Well, let's find out what happened on this day in history.
Okay. Open all right, up the history.
There, it's already open. Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's right.
I decided to pre-dust it off
in our room. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that was a big coughing fit.
Yes.
Let's take a look back. You like the post office?
I love the post office.
Yeah.
Me too. Today in 1792, the USPS was officially created when President Washington signed into law the Postal Service Act.
Yes. You know, I wonder if it's you know, I love the post office. I've always backed it up. I just think it's a great place.
Yeah.
And it's always been there. It's very steady. You always get your mail. It's just fantastic.
It's fun to hang out there. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I think you and I came from a generation where we played post office in school. Right?
I was one of the school mail carriers. Yeah. Like, you could send a letter to a classmate in a different grade or class. And
yes.
I was one of the people who carried the letters and delivered them from class to class.
Wow. Yeah. That's even more advanced than our day.
Right.
Where we had somebody got a big box, cut it up into like a window, and then we played postmaster.
Did you have wanted posters too for the top 10?
No. FBI? No, that would be fun. Yeah, the FBI wanted posters.
I don't think they do that anymore.
No. But it was always fun doing that, you know, and then you just beloved post office at that point. Now they want to get rid of it for some crazy reason.
What they do? What?
Yeah, they want to privatize it. They want everybody else to deliver the mail, which, by the way, is going to go up in price. So then we don't have any choice. And let's go to the phones right now.
We'll keep it quick.
Yeah. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, you know, now that Trump has declared himself king, long live the king. I mean, I just...
Yeah, I know.
When George Washington actually refused the crown, apparently, that there was people that, you know, that he said, no, we're done with that kind of thing. For Trump to go issue an executive order to, you know, to handle something that was actually city business, I think, that there's some kind of congestion rules that they had in New York, and he issued it, and long live the king. And then they post this tacky picture of him on the White House.
Yeah.
The White House page. I mean, it just looks so tacky. I mean, it is. Just,
isn't that amazing?
And it fits right in with Trump's whole thing. I mean, Trump is just unbelievable. He's sticking by all Ukraine, started the war, and all the Republicans are saying, all Ukraine started, because I called Ron Johnson's office. I actually talked to a living person.
Mm.
And the guy would not come out, and I would not answer what I asked. I said, does Ron Johnson believe that Ukraine started the war? And he wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah.
He would not answer
That's
the question.
Great. That's
and
great.
I didn't yell at him particularly. Yeah. I yelled at, I said that Ron Johnson is just gutless for not being able to actually tell the truth that, it was Russia that started that war. And, MAGA is just going, that the Republicans are so, they all must be going to switch to Trump band to brand diapers, because they're all unwilling to stand up to Donald Trump.
It truly is.
They're all wetting themselves when they have to stand up to Donald Trump.
It's an appeasement. Yeah. It's dramatically depressing. It really is.
Thank you for that call, Mark.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, we'd like to know why he was able to do anything with New York City.
Yes.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, coming up in just mere moments, right after the Midwest Farm Report, we'll talk to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. Talk about education.
Education from educators.
Yes.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Liquid Lawyer, the product to turn to when your liquid plumber overcharges you.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. It is time once again for Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slecker, with us this morning. And we were talking off the air about what happened to the Department of Education. We don't know what happened to it. It kind of slipped off the radar because there's so many other things that we are talking about, including radar for airlines. But what have they done so far with the Department of Education? Have they locked the doors? Have they kicked everybody out? What's the story?
Yeah, don't take the fact that we're not hearing anything about it that I guess they gave up on that idea.
No.
Nothing further from the truth. Massively took a huge axe to the the Education Sciences, the research arm of the Department of Education, was defunded to the point where research that has been ongoing across the country and in multiple institutions of higher education have just, again, they pulled the plug. So people who had jobs at different universities that were funded by the federal government to conduct really important research, they're out of jobs and the research has stopped. And there were websites that had published research on it. They've been, of course, cut and taken down because some of that research doesn't align with the King Trump, his new vision of education. So it continues to go and it continues to move forward with, again, as you said, there's a fire hose of information. And I think what happens is that every one of these dismantling initiatives that they're taking on, there's only so much of it you can report in one day.
I know. They've gotten rid of all the research they could get rid of on bird flu. Let's get rid of those people. And then they got rid of the researchers who are doing research on Alzheimer's. We can kind of wait on that one, I guess.
What's
happening?
The research Well, the research on Alzheimer's, it's not like they'll remember those people that it, no, I'm sorry. That was.
Oh, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was horrible.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
Where's the snare drum for that one? Yeah. But, yeah, so much is going on. And it seems like, you know, when they do get rid of any research arm out of any of these departments, it tells you something about the fact that they really are unaware of what they're doing in all of these firings and layoffs.
Yeah. They're totally unaware. And then, you know, so come back to just quickly, like you said, the bird flu and Alzheimer's and dementia. And, you know, I made a joke of that, but, you know, I'm living personally right now, my wife and I, we have my mother-in-law who mm-hmm. lives with us now because of that. And it's incredibly hard. And to think that somebody has said, let's defund or do away with research to possibly help the people that they're, I mean, this is really painful. And so the reality of how this hits, you know, for somebody says it's, mm-hmm. oh, it's a cut and it's meaningless. No, this is painful. And the reality is that you're stopping all kinds of progress and potentially saying, here is a way that we can actually have a lot of peace and give people the ability to have lots more memories with their family members. So, and a little deviation there, sorry about that. But on education research, it's ridiculous to imagine that you would say, let's stop doing research because it doesn't align with my point of view. That's not science.
Right.
Right. Yeah. That's just an amazing thing that he can do that, and they're doing it willy-nilly, as far as I'm concerned. They're just doing it, and they don't understand what they're doing in all of these cuts, supposedly saving us money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, what when we get that, you know, that $5,000 check from all of the money Doge saved,
yeah.
we'll understand.
Sure.
That's true.
Now, Tim, we were talking again before we started here this morning a little bit about you had a conversation with your daughter about opting out of testing, right?
The standardized testing.
Standardized testing.
I was stunned by that, and she did it at such an early age.
Oh, God forbid, you know.
Tell us a story.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so we did it right at the time of No Child Left Behind, 2011, you know, the idea, the massive onslaught of high stakes standardized tests that kids were being required to take so that we could prove their, you know, it was first sold as it's the only way kids are going to learn to get better at what they do is we need to know where they are, as if we didn't know where they were before standardized testing.
Right.
But what had happened was that the intensity to get good scores on those tests from teachers, schools, and even the public, because what those test scores were being used to do was shame teachers, make, you know, everybody appear that the public schools are failing. And my daughter and my son on both of this both really got to the point where they were hating school. They typically loved it, but that aspect was pulling away. So we just, you know, we got together with a lot of other parents and we said, you know what, let's just take our kids out of standardized testing, because actually the standardized test scores have nothing to do with progression from grade to grade and have nothing to do with whether or not they're going to graduate high school.
All right. Do they use standardized testing in college? Do they go by what those tests can tell
No,
them?
No, they don't. I mean, you know, you'll take the SAT or the ACT
sure.
and things like that,
yeah.
but they also do, you know, they take it on grades. And we didn't say that, hey, you're not going to take these tests that allow you to qualify for things. It was these high stakes tests, which still go on today, because what prompted that conversation was a mother you know, wrote the Busted Pencils mailbag and said, hey, I'm really frustrated. My fourth grader is starting to hate school.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do this? And that's the reality is yes, mandated high stakes tests are not mandated for you to progress through to grade level to grade level. And so you have the right, especially now in the era of parents' rights, you can pull your child out of high stakes testing. And what we did though too is when we did that, you know, we really positioned and took my daughter and my son for alternative field trips, for other educational activities, to try to demonstrate that actually the 3 hours a day for a week that was being used to standardize tests, you were actually losing lots of time to actually engage kids in really quality learning.
Great point. Now, what age was she when she went before the school board and told them she wasn't doing it?
She was in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, okay. All right.
Sixth
yeah.
grade, yeah.
That's an amazing thing. And your point was that you tell them you're not going to do it, you don't ask.
Yeah, the people are like, what if they say no? It's like, well, yeah. they won't. First of all, you don't ask, therefore you won't get a no. It's one of these things. It's like, you know, it is a public school and parents do have the right to say, like, you know, hey, I don't want my kid to be in the sex education classes right now because I feel like they're not ready for this. That is your right. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, back in 92, when I was teaching fifth grade, I had parents that would say, you know, we're going to have our child sit out during the, you know, coming of age conversation that you are going to have. No big deal. We just provided an opportunity because parents can, you know, and this is always that move, you know, schools are indoctrinating. They're requiring kids to sit there and take all. No, they're not. They're not. And in fact, when it comes to this, though, for us, the high stakes standardized testing, this was saying that you're wasting valuable instruction time to where we could be engaging kids to love learning or to dig deeper. You're actually harming this ability to engage learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. They have a podcast that drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Civic Media Network. And also their show Saturday afternoons, 3 o'clock.
Wanted to ask you about a story that appeared in Ed Week. I get the emails on it. I subscribe to it, oddly. But I was doing it just to be a good... I was just trying to be a good parent, you know, staying up to date with what's going on in education, and I still get the subscription going.
Your kids are 22 and 24 years...
It's still fascinating. I'm just fascinated by it. And you know... there was an article in it about from Emily Hanford, the creator of Sold a Story podcast, and they were talking about the science of reading. More of that. This is hitting the fan. So tell us about that, Tim.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she is really responsible for creating the movement that has made this public, in a sense that she has really took her podcast, and that podcast really is a marketing podcast that is being used as scientific research to explain why we all kids can't read until the science of reading. You know, it's interesting, but it makes this claim that we weren't teaching young kids how to recognize letters and the sounds that letters made, phonics. So that just was never true. But guess what? It's been really successful as a movement. But as my colleague, in fact, we had last Saturday, Paul Thomas from South Carolina, points out, this is mostly a story about marketing and has nothing to do with science.
Yeah.
So...
Well, yeah, you know, she did mention that, you know, there are different ways of teaching children how to read, and in a lot of classes we're already using phonics anyway, just as a part of the courses in reading. So, but is she firmly behind science, or I thought she was kind of disputing the importance of the idea of, you know, the science of reading.
I did catch in that interview a little bit now where she's coming across as going, well, you know, there are these other things too that we need to pay attention to. So she's, you know, and I think that is potentially because some of the lawsuits now that are starting to come out that might say that, you know, because of this, my kid can't read. And she's also coming to the realization that learning to read is a very complex topic that there isn't a proven science that says this is how it's done. But she also has become incredibly popular with the Soul to Story podcast. And so, you know, you got to stay true to it. But I heard in that interview a little bit of hesitancy and even potentially saying, I'm not so sure that politicians should be the ones making these decisions. Yeah. And on that, I agree with her. But it's actually, though, isn't it too late?
Yeah.
Now,
it's like realizing something after you see it go off the rails a little bit, right? So, well, maybe that wasn't it. I don't know. You know, the science of reading. There was a little part in there that struck a note with me because I was a little dyslexic. You know, when I was younger. And is that a problem that a lot of readers have initially? Do children? How many children percentage have dyslexia?
You know, I mean, think about that. Dyslexia itself is a really kind of complex organizational way of saying, you know, it was quickly like, well, kids see letters backwards.
Yeah.
It's not just that. It's a host of different things, and it's a processing, you know, I don't want to say the word malfunction of what you see to what your brain translates. It's way more complex. However, it is not as widespread as it makes it sound.
All right.
Tim, thank you so much. Right, we need to leave it there. Yep. Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. They have a podcast that drops at the Civic Media website Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And Saturday, they're live in the afternoon, 3 o'clock.
Tim, thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bum, bum, bum. 92.7 WMDX. You know, I just have to say it. So many parts of my life now are like Curb Your Enthusiasm. It must happen when you get older.
I think so. That's what happens. Yeah.
Well, to you,
great
too,
show.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Every day.
You find yourself in line. You think, well, that
what
shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
Right.
Then you say something to somebody and it takes off.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show here on WMDX is brought to you by David J. Frank. They are your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business, and they have provided also residential landscape management in Madison, as well as commercial landscape management. You've seen their work around Hilldale Shopping Center, also on the UW-Madison campus, and they provide care for the grounds of the state capitol, too. David J. Frank, also involved with installation of seasonal color in beds and containers, whatever it takes to keep your yard looking great, or your business, too. So check them out at davidjfrank.com. They have three locations, Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha, davidjfrank.com.
All right. Just
over
a little,
to you.
Just a little early, we were talking about how much we love the post office, and I'm thinking maybe it's because we played post office in grade school, you know? Right?
Yes.
Not we didn't play doctor.
No,
I know that's what you're thinking. Is that why you're
sounding
were grinning
a little creepy or something? I don't know where you're going with this.
Post office
was fun to play.
I'm leading into a comment, a text from Mark out in Prairie du Sac, who said, "In Miracle on 34th Street, the post office saved Santa Claus, which was a monumental moment in history."
Thanks for sharing that with us.
No, I think it's a good thing to bring up.
Why not?
Right?
Yeah. And let's see. We got some other texts here. By the way, you can call us at 608-879-8255. You can also text us there or on the Civic Media app. You can call or text It's free to download. Use the Civic Media app. What do you got there, John?
Well, Doug, St. Francis said yesterday it was revealed that Doge fraud report had an almost $8 billion mistake. But you need to keep in mind that each number is just one number, so it's really not that big a deal.
All right.
You never know if they're going to use that excuse the next time, though, right, Doug?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a crazy time.
It is. Hey, you know, I was listening to Stephanie Miller yesterday.
Yes.
And always love those segments with Malcolm Nance.
I heard that too. Yes.
Who was always on MSNBC for a while. He's not there doing that much anymore. But I pulled a few sounders from him I thought were really important. And why don't we play this from Malcolm Nance? He says, the war is now on. It's cut 140. Let's listen to this. This is fantastic stuff from Stephanie Miller.
I want you to set aside the midterms. I want you to set aside 2024.
Yeah.
Done. The war is now.
Right.
The war, the fight on the street is now. The nonviolent fight is now. They want a violent fight. They want black bloc anarchists and the Democratic Socialists of America to come out and start a fight so they can give us the Reichstag fire that they want. This is literally a totalitarian dictatorship forming before your eyes. And the first thing you need to do is to fight is you need to have those right terms. Elon Musk is a straight-up Nazi. He's proved it to us. He is a believer in this neo-reactionary ideology that believes that the technological rich elite must form a dictatorship in America, and we're on our way. Stop looking at the chaos and start attacking the people who are doing the burning.
That's right. Isn't that great stuff?
Yeah. And he was Malcolm, on fire.
He really was. Let's play this cut 142 as well. Yeah. Let's hear this.
Stephen, I don't think anyone...
Then why are you not celebrating these cuts?
That's Stephen Miller. Yeah,
that's Stephen Miller.
Right.
That's not it.
You can't count, can you?
I really can't.
You have dyslexia and you can't count.
I don't want to get into all of the problems that I have. Cut 139. How's that? Let's try.
Okay. Let's spin the wheel here. Okay.
Give it a try.
All right.
I was waiting for that shoe to drop on the Zelensky thing over the phone call, over when he refused to create a fake investigation of Joe Biden, and when he refused to, when he dropped the dime on the phone call and Trump got impeached for the second time because a president of the United States was carrying out extortion.
Remember that?
Extortion with a foreign power. With the exact same missiles, by the way, which were authorized under Obama in the Congress under Trump, but the same missiles that saved Ukraine, the Javelin missiles. Trump said, you do the investigation or we pull those. Listen, this is all about revenge at this point. And he is going to facilitate Vladimir Putin. I was about to use another word that sounds like facilitate. And he's going to do whatever Moscow does. Listen, my friend Christopher Steele, the British intelligence officer I had a very, very pleasant lunch with a few years ago, the Steele memorandum is starting to look like the Bible. Like the pages of Nostradamus. It's all coming
true. Trump keeps saying we're in the golden age of America, and I keep saying it's the golden shower age of America. But to Christopher Steele's point. So, I have to ask you this just because.
It's great stuff.
That's Stephanie Miller's show.
Yeah. From WMDX from our station.
Yes.
And it's great stuff to hear Malcolm Nance go off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely does that.
But he really knows how to position and frame the issue, and that's what I like about him.
Back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment, right after the news here on WMDX.
We'll be right back to the action right after this message.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.